Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Revelation with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Revelation chapter 21, starting in verse 6, ending in verse 21, where we focus on the imminent return of Christ. The return of Christ is a foundational aspect to the book of Revelation and our walks with God. It is both a warning to the unbeliever, but also a promise to the believer that he is coming back again. Now let's join Pastor Dave as we finish the book of Revelation in chapter 1, verse 6.
Because I could see some of your faces and I'm thinking that you're thinking, what a prude. I'm not a prude, I'm heralding God's word. This is the heart of Jesus, he's fairly warning. No one in the hearing of my voice will be able to stand before the throne and say, I had no clue. This is not about conjecture. This is not let's take a league vote. Let's weigh in on these things. Let's see if these things are antiquated, if they become Victorian. That's your personal opinion, and all your personal opinion is your personal preference. This is the word of the Lord. It abides forever, and he esteems it above his name. He says still in 2021, on the brink of 2022, he says still this is the case. Whoremongers that are unrepentant, they're not there. They're outside of the city. He goes on to say in this verse very clearly, murderers, you know what that is, idolaters, master passion, anything other than Jesus. He just brought the house down with that. And liars. Just as it is, the enemy has been a liar since the beginning of him entering into creation and messing with the Lord's image bearers. And he's speaking here of people who pursue that lifestyle of lying. And you know what's amazing? You can work through each of these sins and you can say this. Okay, we'll begin with adulterers. All adulterers, while they're in adultery, are liars. Do you know that? I mean, you can start to connect these things because in order to successfully commit adultery, you've got to tell a series of lies. And the first person you tell the lies to is yourself. You tell lies to yourself and then to everyone else, and everyone else after yourself becomes, in your mind, lesser lies. And that's how you're successful in the endeavor. Same with drugs. Same with idolatry, same with any other sin that you can come up with, man. In order for you to habitually practice a sin, lying has to be intermingled. Now, I want to be very clear here because I want to represent Jesus as perfectly as a fallen man can. The issue in front of us in these verses is that these are settled characteristics of the lives from which they were never delivered, even though the grace of God made it possible that they could experience deliverance. These are those who have just said, I'm going to stay in this lifestyle. It's not those who have committed this sin for a season or were once these things. Because as we're going to see on Wednesday night's movement through Corinthians, Paul says we were all once these things, but God. So I just don't want there to be any condemnation or anyone to think I'm coming down with a heavy hand and not incorporating grace. This is just for people who knowingly, ongoingly stay in this place after the light has been shined on their darkness. We all clear? Good. I just don't want to misrepresent Jesus and his grace. I don't ever want to be erring on just truth. I want grace and truth. So then we close out here with this. I, Jesus, after he says these things, it's all one chunk of scriptures. That's why we've kept it together here. But you could break apart almost every verse or two into a sermon series. He says here, I, Jesus, it's the only time in the Bible that you have that, so you should definitely lean in. I, Jesus, it's emphatic, I, Jesus, I have sent my angel to testify unto you, that's plural, it's yous guys, I have sent my angel to testify unto all of you these things. That's the book of Revelation in the churches. It's the first time we got the name church since Revelation chapter 3. I am, he says, the root and the fruit of David. I am the Messiah. I am the promised one. I am the anointed one. I am the one who has taken away the sins of the world. And then he says, for the only instance of scripture where it appears, and I am the bright and morning star. I'm the representation of a new day. That's what it's speaking to us here. I, Jesus, he uses his earthly name. He speaks it in an emphatic expression. I, Jesus, he says, I am the bright and morning star. The star that comes up first, Venus, the brightest star, the directing star, the star that all the travelers of the ancient Orient and all the mariners and all the shepherds would look to understand that the day is getting ready to break. You could see the bright star coming up in the morning. And that's what Jesus says of himself. I'm the bright and morning star. The day is about to break. That's what he's saying. He saved it for right here. You know, the only other time that a similar phrase like this shows up, this is interesting, is in Isaiah 14 in the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures of the Old Testament, when Lucifer, in the description of his fall, is called not the morning star, but the son of morning. And the son of morning from Isaiah 14, he promises to dogs, he promises to idolaters and murderers and sorcerers and liars, he promises them as the son of morning a new day. If you bow down and worship me, like he said to Jesus. But this morning star, he saves the best wine for last. And he can come through on his promises. He's not just a promise maker, he's a promise keeper. The enemy of our souls is a promise maker, but he can't come through. Choose wisely which morning star, son of morning, that you bow down to. Because one can deliver and one can't. Now, listen, if I didn't keep expounding verse on verse and we were just reading this in flow, and we were there somehow with John to be able to behold these things, we would get in on this. Because look at verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Because you can't separate the Spirit and the bride. They're one. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. It's imperative. It's you got to come, Lord. And let him that heareth, he's hearing. Jesus speaks precise words, and precise words makes us think precise thoughts. Good info produces good fruit. So the person that's hearing these precise words that he's being delivered to speak, the response then is, you got to come. We need you to come, come. He that heareth, they say come. And let him that is athirsty, that's it, you just got to be thirsty. Come, he says. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life undeservedly. There's no other way to drink. There's these exhortations of come. There's this invitation of come. It's you got to come. It's in light of this prophetic word, everything we just read, everything that we're receiving through the narrative, everything that we're seeing out there, we're sizing them up. We got them on scales here, and they're very unbalanced. The scales are very tipped. Lord, this world's got nothing for me. What's awaiting me in glory is everything that my soul longs for. So we join in and we say, come. It's not just an evangelical text. Part of it can be. But it's also as the bride of Christ, apart with the Spirit of God, Jesus, we say, come. Like we were thirsty when we came to you, Christ, but we stay thirsty for you. And anyone that's here today that's not yet in and a part of the family of God, he says the only prerequisite is that you got to be thirsty. You a thirsty dog? Are you a thirsty whoremonger? Are you a thirsty liar? Are you a thirsty murderer? Listen, Jesus, if you're thirsty, then I will quench your thirst despite what else is attached to that thirst description. Just acknowledge and come. For I testify, I emphatically testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, Oh, I'm going to be very clear with this as I close. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add. That's a future active description in verse 18 of what God's going to do. God is going to add unto him the plagues. And if you studied with us, you know what they are. The trumpet plagues, the bowl plagues. Listen, the seals, these things plus some are going to be added to the person and their future that add to the things that are written in the book. When it says that are written, it means it's the things that stand written. Don't mess with it. There is no adding to the law of the Lord. And then he goes on to say this, and if any man shall take away, and there's no subtracting from the law of the Lord. Pharisees add to it. Jesus plus a suit, Jesus plus a check, Jesus plus this, Jesus plus that. That's your holiness, your righteousness. Don't mess with it. And Sadducees, they antiquate it. They say that's Victorian, that's outdated, you're a prude, it's the 21st century. No pastor stands behind a pulpit anymore with a King James Bible and teaches. Enough of it. Subtract it. Preach from God's word, don't preach through God's word. No. This is standing now. Stands written. The command is clear. Don't add to it and don't take away from it. Just unleash it. Just unleash it. Let it accomplish its purposes. Don't take away from the words of this prophecy, or else God will take away. There's a day coming, it's future active, where God will take away his part, that's singular, the person who messes with it, out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written, that stand written in the book. Now, Genesis and Revelation seem to be the most attacked books in the Bible. Man's origin, man's destiny. They're messed with. And the Lord is clear here. No messing with it. No adding, no taking away. And now we close. Y'all ready? The plane is about to descend. We're going to land this. He which testifies these things says, surely. These are the last words of Jesus. I'm going to break them up real quick. Surely, which means yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, he says to you and I come quickly. I have in my Bible quickly circled because that's the last word that I have from Christ in inspired scripture, quickly. The last word, people love last words. If you have the privilege of being by your loved one at their bedside and they pass, we make note of what are their last words. Not that Jesus passed, but this is the last recorded thing that we have in the inerrant inspired word of God coming from the mouth of Jesus. And the last word is quickly. Yes, indeed, he says, I am, it's emphatic, coming quickly. It's present tense. I am coming quickly. And any husband or father that's away from his family for a period of time, that's the message he'd want to convey. I'm coming. I'm coming back. I'm not staying away from you forever. There would be no reason for this betrothal in this instance if I was always going to stay here and you were always stay there. Long distance forever doesn't work. I'm coming. I'm coming like a thief in the night. Have your lampstand filled with oil. Get your head out of the dirt. Lift up. Your redemption draws nigh. Be ready. The trump is going to sound. I'm not going to tell you the exact day or hour, but I'll tell you what it's going to be like. I'll give you all the heads up in the world, and I'll still, even though there's so much apostasy and straying from Scripture, I'll always have the master's minority in place heralding the Scriptures so that the word can be taught expositionally and clearly. There will be none that can take a stand before the throne and say, I didn't know. Everyone can know. As much freedoms are being robbed from us, we still have the freedom of speech to preach God's word. I mean, there's really no reason here this morning that anybody could really get too frantic or upset with the Lord. He said, I'm coming. Yeah, you don't know the day or hour. You don't need to know the day or hour. Just be found ready. Just if you wake up every day and say, Jesus, the day is yours, you're ready. If you will walk with him and you will talk with him and you will confess to him, you're ready. He's coming. He wants you to know, I'm coming quickly. And then it ends this way. John responds, and it's kind of funny here because man saying to God, he says, amen, even so, come. It's like he and it's an imperative. So he's kind of like telling God here in this instance, I'm being now authoritative with you, imperative to you, speaking in such a way where I'm not saying, Lord, hey, could you maybe come? I'm saying, Lord, please come. Even so, he says, come, Lord Jesus. You know what that is, don't you? Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus is the Greek equivalent of the Aramaic Maranatha, which means the Lord comes. But more clearly, the Lord has come. The Lord is coming. And the Lord will come again. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. It's grace. It's grace for him. I want to say this to you very clearly. It's grace for him to be my Lord and to be your Lord. Isn't it? It's unmerited favor for him to be the Lord of our lives. But it's grace for him also to give advance notice of what's coming. It's totally gracious of him. And no doubt, regardless of anyone's eschatological view, that the reader of Revelation may have, right? No matter what your view is, I think that we're all kind of left on the edge of our seat awaiting the coming of Christ at any moment. I really do believe that, like, no matter where you fall in the whole mix here, I think it's impossible not to look at everything that's around us in this era of human history and not think to ourselves before we go to bed at night or start a new day, Lord, perhaps this really could be the day that you call your church home. But it's by grace that he even gives us the heads up that that's how it's going to go and then what unfolds from there. So I just pray that the grace of God would be further illuminated for all of us. We didn't deserve this. We were going our own way, our own direction. Jesus stepped into our lives and he saved us. He sealed us with his Spirit. He gave us comprehension to his word. We would never comprehend these things without God's Spirit. I could never teach these things without God's Spirit. I could teach them contextually, and I could teach them from like a schoolroom viewpoint, but I couldn't teach them with authority and conviction and unction. It comes from the reality of the Spirit of Jesus within me and then on your end within you. That commonality, that bond, that union that we have with the Lord and with each other. There's this oneness, and it's by the grace of God that Jesus reveals himself to us in this way and reveals to us this apocalypse, this unveiling of futuristic events. None of us deserved it. He's just that good, and he's that kind. And so, I love it. The Lord is coming. Maranatha. Maranatha. Who knows? We might not have time to start another book. I don't know. I don't know how to take that, because now I'm thinking you just don't want me to teach another book, but either which way. Let's stand and pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you for forbearing us, Lord, that you are forbearing with us, that you are patient, that you are teacher, that you are helper, that you are healer, that you are the revealer. We are so thankful for the ministry of pointing our heads, Lord, our eyes to the one who our help comes from, our Redeemer, our Savior King. And Lord, we pray that should you tarry any length of time, today, tomorrow, another week, and give us another opportunity to congregationally regather next week or Wednesday evening, Lord, we pray that you would fill us with your Spirit and strengthen us to continue to pursue you. We want to be a part of that number that you were speaking to, and you said, let him that is holy stay holy. Let him that is righteous stay righteous. And we are thankful this morning that we are the righteousness of God because of your sacrifice. So strengthen us, Lord, and anyone who is thirsty this morning, that is yet to come and to drink of you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that they would receive the invitation that went forth, all who are thirsty. You know what, if there's anyone here this morning, I don't want to take it for granted. I don't want your blood on my hands. If there's anybody in this room as we're in this moment of prayer where you've yet to respond to Jesus Christ, please hear me as your personal Lord and Savior. All throughout, I sought to be specific to show you when it was in the singular. There's such an emphasis on individual responses. If there's anybody here that has not yet individually responded, listen, I don't want you to cower and hide from man in this profession, but I also don't want you to think there's like a spotlight on you and we're putting you on blast. This is an opportunity right now for you as we get ready to close in song to praise our King, for you just to raise your hand in the air and I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And the reason for it is because the Bible says clearly two things. If image bearers profess their creator before other image bearers, he will profess us before all of the host of heaven. That's a promise. If there's this outward commitment to Jesus, and there's a promise, secondly, that if we believe in our heart what the gospel says and we confess with our mouth, then we will be saved. We'll be a part of the family of God. So if there's anybody in this place, even if you're streaming online, I'm gonna speak the prayer because this is too important to just assume that everybody's in. I want you to be able to say with us, Maranatha. I don't want you to be afraid of his coming. I don't want you to be dreading his coming. I want you to be every day waiting and looking for his coming. So if you're in this space right now or even on the other end of the camera and I'm in your living room with you or your car or break room, wherever you are streaming this, please put your hand in the air and just keep it there as I lead you in a prayer. Go ahead and just raise your hand to Jesus. And God bless you. Yeah, just keep it lifted to Jesus. You're not lifting it to me or leadership. You're lifting it to the Lord. Just raise your hand. Keep it up. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Repeat out loud after me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. And please be the Lord of my life. Thank you for dying for me. And thank you for rising again. Help me to walk with you and stay close to you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord bless you, those of you who received, those of you who believed. It's so important that we start you out on the right foot if you're in the room and you're physically able to access leadership that will be in the front after this service here. I invite you to come forward and talk with these guys if you have questions or you don't know where to go from here. If you're streaming this message, call us at the church, email us. We'd love to talk with you and further direct you, because what you do with this decision in the infant stages is so imperative. It's so important, and we just want everything for you, nothing from you. So God bless you guys. It's been a privilege to move through this portion of scriptures with you, and I'm just thankful that we have an opportunity to sing to Jesus, and we'll do that.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com. to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.